Good evening. My name is Jason, and I'm an elder here at Believer City Church. I will be rewinding our message from this last Sunday titled Surprise from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. You may be dialing in on our local radio station, WRJF LP 101.7 FM here in Menominee, Wisconsin, or maybe you're streaming street level radio and connecting with our broadcast in some other corner of the internet. But wherever you're at, just know we're happy to have you join us. A number of groups in the area are also listening to this broadcast. Places like Durand, Woodville, Glenwood City, Eau Claire, and yes, even Bloomer. And those people are joining up in parks and in restaurants. They're listening. They're talking about the message and how it applies to their lives. We'd love to have you join us if you're nearby and you want to check us out. Now, if you have a Bible, our message comes from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. So as you turn there, let's take another look.
We know that old story. And as we grow older and we grow more familiar, we start looking for something different. Here in Mark 6, we see another picture of how Jesus, the author of all time, wrote himself into his own storyline. He did that in order to ultimately resolve the plot and bring us home. We know the end of the story there, right? But we see that on the path that he took, he experienced the same struggle, isolation, and rejection in his own earthly life and in his own earthly home. It's been said that familiarity breeds contempt, right? We know that saying. We can become so familiar with something that we're not impressed anymore, right? It doesn't capture our attention. Places we see regularly can become familiar to us so that one day, that same majestic view that used to just take our breath away, make us stop in the middle of it all and just look. One day it becomes just another hill on the way to work. Tragically, we do this same thing with people as well. And we stop listening, we stop looking, and we stop learning. So here's a little backstory leading up to this point. Jesus, he made it his custom to go to the synagogue. He was in church regularly. He was there. It was his custom. And understand this. Nazareth, this was his hometown church. This was the one he grew up in. He would have been known by all the people there since his childhood. They would have known his family, indeed they did. They would have known his upbringing, and they knew all the stories. And it's likely that, think about this one, Joseph was a carpenter and Jesus followed after that. Jesus probably did work for many of the people there in Nazareth. He's applying some carpentry skills. The people there were familiar with him. They knew who Jesus was, or at least they thought they knew who he was. They listened to his teaching, his words. They saw his works, and even though they recognized there was something extraordinary about him, they would not believe because they were so familiar. They thought they already knew everything there was to know about God. And more importantly, they thought they already knew everything there was to know about Jesus. They were not just surprised by Jesus. They were afraid of him and they had no capacity to accept or deal with what he was saying, or even who he was anymore. They were surprised to the point of being offended by Jesus because they thought they knew him. There's a real danger present when we become too familiar with someone or something. Familiarity, it sets us up like a trap. It becomes something that we trip over and become offended or embarrassed by. The word offended in this passage is actually where we get our words scandal and trap from. The people back home were tripped up by their own familiarity with Jesus. How common do you hear this when we were teaching and mentoring in the jails? I'd hear this all the time. They asked the question, are you a Christian? And the second one was, why do you think so? They said, I know I'm going to heaven because I was baptized as an infant. I was confirmed in the church. My whole family is Christian. So am I. It's common to know people who have grown up in the church, have gone through all of these motions of Christianity so long that they know exactly what they're supposed to believe, but they can't explain why they believe any of it. Whatever form familiarity takes on culturally, religiously, chemistry, it all produces the same response. And for us today, when it comes to Jesus, that response is this. Familiarity. People think that they know Jesus or that they're a Christian, but they've never been born again. In the same way, knowing what you're supposed to believe, but not knowing why you believe it, doesn't work in Christianity. Doesn't work in chemistry either. Right? We're not told that Jesus was disappointed or angry or even sad because of their unbelief. Rather, he marveled at them. To marvel or be amazed like Jesus was here means to be in wonder, to react in surprise to something unexpected. Imagine being able to do that to the author of all time. This is like Jesus coming in and like seeing the response and just kind of shaking his head saying, wow, I don't even know what to do with that. That's what Jesus was doing here. How did he respond to unbelief? Ultimately, he abandoned them to their choice. Jesus was willing to do great work in their lives, but hear this now. Their familiarity produced unbelief that made them ineligible for that to happen in. How different this story in Mark 6 would be if the people of Nazareth, who knew him the best, would have responded boldly in repentance. Man, Jesus, I thought I knew who you were, but was I ever wrong? What a different response. Instead, like them, we become comfortable with what we're familiar with.
In Mark 6, we see Jesus return to his hometown, Nazareth. Even though he'd been teaching with great wisdom and performing miracles, the people who knew him the longest were shocked. Instead of receiving him back with open arms, we see that they were offended by his miraculous works and his marvelous words, all of which proclaimed him to be the Messiah. They remembered him only as the local carpenter, the son of Mary, a common man with a familiar history to them. Because they thought they knew everything about him, they missed an opportunity to exercise faith and have Jesus do a great work there in their midst. Jesus was amazed by their lack of belief and noted that a prophet is often respected everywhere except in his hometown. The struggle of going home, feeling rejected, is a major theme throughout human history. From epic poems by Homer to popular songs by Dylan, these stories matter because we all face the challenge of growing up, leaving home, trying to find where we truly belong. There's an old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. This means that when we see something every day, we can stop noticing how special it really is. This is what happened in Nazareth. I mean, earlier in the book of Luke, Jesus stopped in the synagogue and read a messianic prophecy, not a psalm, but a prophecy from the scroll of Isaiah. He read about a savior who would heal the brokenhearted and set prisoners free. When Jesus said that he was the one fulfilling those words, the people got so angry they tried to throw him off a cliff. They were too familiar with Jesus, the neighbor, to be able to see Jesus, the Savior. Familiarity can be a trap for our faith today through both culture and religion. Cultural familiarity, it happens when things like crosses and church holidays, they're just decorations and traditions rather than a reflection of any kind of deep faith or belief. Religious familiarity happens when people go through the motions like being baptized or confirmed or even taking communion without really understanding the why behind it all. We learn to speak the language of Christianity. Some people call it Christianese. This is where we learn the rules, the motions, the dress of being a Christian. We become so familiar with the external customs of what it looks like to be a Christian, and it sounds like to be a Christian, and even what they act like as Christians, that we miss the fact that actually being a Christian means knowing Christ. On Sunday, I use the illustration of a student in a chemistry class who watches the teacher do all the work, and the confidence that they might feel because their teacher is good at chemistry, it doesn't translate into their own ability to actually do the chemistry. They haven't learned the subject matter at all. They're simply familiar with the vocabulary of chemistry. Are we doing that same thing with our Christianity? Follow me here. I like Clint Eastwood movies. I think he's one of the great directors of our time. And I could tell you a lot of things about his movies, how Mr. Eastwood likes to unfold a story. And I could explain a lot of other interesting facts and details about Mr. Eastwood to you. You know, I know of Mr. Eastwood, but if I'm honest, I don't know the man, Clint Eastwood. He's not my friend, nor am I his. If I did know him, we would have each other's phone numbers, talk regularly. My wife and I would invite him over for dinner. And I'd call him Clint. He'd probably call me Punk because, you know, it's Clint Eastwood. And I think we'd both find that funny. But think of this. If I got Clint Eastwood's phone number today, his personal cell phone number, and I decided to call him just out of the blue. And furthermore, when I got a hold of him, I started talking to him like he was my close friend. What do you think his reaction would be to all of that? I think he would call me a punk, but it wouldn't be very funny. And then he'd hang up on me. Why? Because he doesn't know me, and I don't know him. To follow Jesus truly, we have to move past just being familiar with his name and actually engage with who he is and do what he's asking. no matter how surprised we may be.